Right outside Phil's Coffee in Mission Bay neighborhood of San Francisco, I'm Schmitty, and this is Talkin' Schmidt. Today on the show is Axel Kreuzbugs. Axel's a pro skateboarder from Belgium, riding for Toy Machine and Vans. He's one half of my favorite skate couple, and was on King of the Road the first year it was covered by Vice. He's going to be put to the test as he represents his country this year at the Japan Olympics. So word to you judges, bring a bigger cup.
It's not fun to pee in a cup in front of someone, you know? Like, I had a hard time. I peed in the cup, but this cup is, like, pretty small. So I'm like, oh, shit, no, I'm peeing a bunch. And I'm like, I don't know where to put the cup, and I'm still peeing. And this dude's next to me watching me do all this. And I'm like, this is insane.
Oh, and congratulations to friend of the show, Sean Malto, who got to see his home team, the Kansas City Chiefs, win their first Super Bowl in 50 years. It was a well-fought game and tough for us San Franciscans, but our team is young, and I'm pretty sure we'll be back again real soon. For those of you saying the Niners collapsed, unconfirmed rumors have it that some of the key staff members were on the phone with the city of Santa Clara debating where the parade would take place. Shame on you, great America. Switching gears to baseball, big ups to a class act move by my hometown San Francisco Giants for hiring Alyssa Nockin as the first female full-time assistant in Major League Baseball history. The wall is broken. Good job out there. Also, have you guys seen the Rollers California Bearing and Grip Company? Looks like they came out the gates on fire with Andy Roy, Jason Jesse, Ronnie Sandoval, Jesse Paez, and Sammy Baca. From what I'm hearing, that's not even close to the entire team rollout. And for the clickbait question of the week, is that Jezebel article for real? Anyway, with that being said,
my name is Axel Kreuzbugs, and you're listening to Talking Schmidt.
It's cool, like tonight is the night.
Here we go again.
Just give it the old college try, right here.
All big dogs in.
Schmitty.
96 times Schmitty.
Thanks, Schmitty.
John, Schmitty.
Talking Schmidt.
That's called going to the hospital, bitch.
He shit my pants, lad.
Your Rolodex is fucking deep.
I don't give a fuck about your fucking multi-million-dollar numbers.
Who is this guy? Thinks he's tough shit.
What's up?
I'm here for James Smith. Yeah!
Check, check, check. Mommy, mommy. We are in the East Bay with Axel Kreuzbug. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. How are you?
This is good. I'm glad you, Lizzie, and Mommy are up here. Super
yep.
Stoked.
Couple days.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Do some skateboarding. You guys going to do any tourist sightseeing at all?
We would like to, but so far we've only done skateboarding. So yeah. Maybe tomorrow. I don't know.
All right.
I hope so.
So let's start from the beginning. Were you born in Belgium?
Yes.
And raised?
Born and raised, yeah.
And what's the city? Small town.
Yeah, I'm from a small town. It's called Poperinge. And there's like 10,000 people that live there. So it's pretty small, I would say.
How many cows?
Probably more cows than people.
Really?
Actually, no. I wouldn't say there's over 10,000 cows there. But there's a fair amount. Like, if you bike around, like, there's a bunch of cows.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And how did you discover a skateboard in that environment?
So, I moved houses, and then in that neighborhood, there was, like, a bunch of kids skating, but just in the street. And so, I saw that. I was like, wow, that's really cool. So, I just wanted to, like, I was like, Mom, I want to do that. And she was, like, not too stoked on it, because as a kid, I would just, like, I already played soccer, played tennis. I would do it all, you know, like I just had to do stuff. Otherwise, I feel like I was just like a little crazy kid, you know,
uh-huh.
I had to move or I couldn't sleep at night or something.
Uh-huh.
So then I saw the skateboards and I was like, wow, like I need to do this. And
what age was this?
This is when I was like six or seven.
Okay.
And one day I went to a store with my grandma and then I was like begging like my mom, like, please, can I get a board? And she's like, no, no. And then my grandma like came through and got the board for me, And I went home and started skating.
What kind of board was it?
It was like super cheap. I think the board was like $7. It was like super cheap board.
Like a plastic one or a wooden one?
It wasn't plastic, but it's from like the toy store.
Uh-huh.
So
fiberglass or something?
I don't know. It was cheap, okay. You know, but it worked. I could roll around and it looked cool. It had a cool graphic. So.
And you remember?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I remember it super well. It had like this like graphic on the grip tape. It had like a little, like a kid that was all like beat up and had like a cast on and like bloody. And my mom, when we were in the store, like, she's like, all right. Like my grandma's like, all right, I'll buy it for you. My mom was like, see, tonight you're going to look like this. And we went home, like for real, like we went home, I'm in the street on my knees, like pushing around with those other guys that are skating. And I like ended up flipping like full speed. I like flipped over and like just scratched my face over like the asphalt in the street and just fucked up. Yeah. The first day I fucked up my whole face, like front teeth went through like my lip. Like, I don't know, it was fucked up. So I'm crying. My mom's like mad at me. Like, she's like, see, I told you. And I knew I fucked up. And that was me, you know. As a little kid, I would always like try stuff, get hurt. But I didn't give up. I got back into it. And, you know, I had to wear this hat all summer to stay out of the sun.
Oh.
You know, my whole face was scratched. So.
Do you remember getting your first like legitimate board?
Yeah, it was like a little bit. So I probably had that board for like a year or something.
Uh-huh.
And then I had, it was like a pro board from this other, like a sports store.
Mm.
And it was a Kryptonic, you know,
Yeah, totally.
So technically it was like a real board, but it wasn't really the board I wanted. I wanted to have like a real board, you know, like from a solid like company, but those were still more expensive. So my first real board was a Kryptonics. Kryptonics, is it? Kryptonics?
Yeah, they were known for wheels.
Yeah, and they had like complete setups.
Yeah.
So I got one of those, but it was a big difference compared to my like other board, you know? This one was like legit.
Was this out of a skate shop or no?
Not even. It was a sports store. They had like, store. It was not even
There's
a skate
no
shop.
Skate shop.
Because there was a skate shop in town and I would go there and look at everything. But then, you know, like a board, a complete is still like over $100 versus this Kryptonics board is like what, maybe 60 euros or something.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I got that one, because I had to pay for it myself and I would get like $5 every week from my grandma and I would like save it.
Oh,
and then I bought the board.
Like an allowance.
Yeah, kind of. And there was a skate park in town too. So I live pretty close to the skate park. So once I started like pushing around, and I was skating with the kids in the neighborhood and they would all go to the skate park because they were older. And then my mom would like let me go with them to the skate park. And that's when I was like, whoa, skateboarding is a thing. I had never been to a skate park, you know.
Was there local people that were good?
There was like, let's say there's like 40 skaters and there was people that not like, it's not like here you go to a skate park and you see pro skaters. That's not how it is in Belgium, but there was a couple of people like in my eyes, they're like, oh, these guys are good, but it's nothing crazy. But to me, it's like, whoa, shit, like they can ollie, they can drop in.
Uh-huh.
And that's what, I don't know, that's what I wanted to do. So,
and like it helped you see where you need to go.
Kind of, but I still didn't know what skateboarding was at that time. You know, there I'm just like seeing all these guys like pushing around and skating, and they kind of, I instantly like became friends with everybody and they were all older. And I was like that little kid, like, you know, like way younger than everybody else,
yeah.
But we were all friends hanging somehow out. And I was just hanging out. And from then, like literally, like I would skate every day and just practice, like, you know, like try to ollie. It took me like a year to do an ollie. Like I could not ollie. Maybe I was just too small.
But you knew you wanted to.
I wanted it so bad and I couldn't stop, you know, I could not stop.
Would you just try to click your tail every
day? Like I would like put like a broomstick.
Uh-huh.
On the ground, so I would try to ollie over it, and every time my back wheels would clip and I would just roll away with the broomstick, and I would like get so mad and I would try this for hours.
Yeah,
you know. And then once I made that, and then I feel like once I learned how to ollie, everything went really fast.
Oh,
I don't know. And like I feel like it took me a year to ollie, and then, or I could like drop in on stuff like after that. Once I got to ollie, then I just learned flip tricks, grinds, slides, all of that in like a year probably. And then next thing you know, I'm doing like down like bigger stuff. Huh. I don't know. It went pretty quick, I guess.
And were you, like, did you have videos or magazines to look at, or?
No, not really. Actually, a couple of my friends, they had maybe, like VHS tapes or something. So I would look at that. But I didn't really understand the videos. I think I was just, like, little, and I would watch it. I was like, huh? Like, I didn't understand.
You were more wanting to do it and not, you didn't care to watch it?
Not really, but then I feel like in Belgium, there's like 30 minutes from my house, there's an indoor skate park. And then, so I would skate the Poperinge skate park for a while. And then I started going to the indoor skate park, and that's where like there's a big skate scene. They have a skate shop. They have all like, you know, like the new boards, they have everything there. So once I went there, and then I would start seeing like magazines more and even like videos. And that's when I started like, oh, like skateboarding is like a thing. Like people, there's professionals. And like before that, I didn't really know that, I think.
Did you make a sponsor me tape?
No. I got hooked up by the skate shop in Poperinge. Like okay. In my hometown, there was a skate shop. And then I would go there every day. Oh, yeah. I forget. Because they had a little TV. And I would go there every day after school, kind of just by myself, watch skate videos. I did get into skate videos.
Do you remember what, like, which ones appealed to you?
No.
Not at all?
I have no clue what I was watching. I couldn't understand English. I couldn't read English. So I was just watching skateboarding.
Oh. You know? I see.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was the language you were raised on?
The Flemish? Yeah.
Okay.
But also French, because my dad is from the French part of Belgium. So, yeah, I like a mix, kind of.
Parlez-vous français?
Oui. Yeah, I actually do. But actually, with moving here, my French got, like, worse because I never really speak French anymore.
You
and I'm not around it that much.
Uh-huh.
But I had French in school for, like, what, like 10 years or something. So I do know. I understand. When people speak French, I do understand.
Have you been to France?
Yeah. I grew up, like, Poperinge is, like, 10 minutes away from the French border.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I could bike
to
France,
the same,
you know?
It's the same dialect as, like, Parisian or whatever.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, they do all have different, like, accents. And, like, even in Belgium, it's so small. Like, every 30 minutes is a different accent, you know?
So you got sponsored by the local thing, and then what happened from there?
So got sponsored by the skate park, and then there were all these little contests. And I was probably like around age nine, I started like skating the little contests, and like I won a contest, you know, like I want to say it was like under 16 division, and I won. And so let's say I got some gear, and like then I started doing more contests. At this time, I don't know why, but there's like a bunch of contests for kids and sponsored riders everywhere in Belgium.
Huh.
So I started doing this, and then there was There was like a contest like tour. It was sponsored by Snickers. And so I did all these, it was like 8 stops, and I did all these, and we would get all these free Snickers, and like it was super sick. I remember going to school with like 24 Snickers, you know, I wanted to give them away in class. Like, it was so fun this weekend, you know, like. Snickers, and then, so I won, like, actually won a lot of these, like, contests. And then you could win a trip to the World Cup skateboarding in Rotterdam, which, like, all the pros were there. Like, Bastian was there, Lee Romero was there, Brian Herman was there. Like, literally every single pro. And so I won a trip there. Like, the first 10 people could go or something. So. Uh-huh.
At age 10 or 11?
Yeah, I was like 10, I think.
And you knew who these guys were already?
Yeah, at this time, I figured it out. Like, watched all, like, the skate videos. And, you know, I was super into it. Like,
uh-huh.
So I went there, and I thought the trip was you go there and you can watch the contest. So, but even my parents and stuff went, and we were so stoked. And then once we showed up, they're like, no, you're skating the contest. And I'm like, what? No, I was like, I'm not skating. They're like, yeah, you're skating the contest. You won your trip here. And I started crying because I saw all the pros. I was like, I'm not skating here. Like, are you kidding me? You know? So I started crying. But then I ended up skating the contest, and I did pretty well. I think I got like 12th place or something, or I don't even know. I almost made it in the finals, which was big because
Leo there?
Leo was there.
Did he remember you?
No, but I remember him. Like, I remember everything about, I remember what he was wearing. I remember he had like orange trucks or something. I remember every, because I pay attention to all that, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a little kid. I'm like, like I would look at everything, and I was so stoked to be there, and it was super sick actually. And, so and then I got on Etnies right after that.
From them that noticing contest, you at the contest?
Yeah, they noticed me at the contest. And then the team manager, Oli Bergen, he's the Europe team manager. Yeah. He came to our hotel and we're about to leave. And he like, hey, he like talked to my parents. And he's like, yeah, we want to sponsor Axel. And then it went from like kind of nothing to, I don't know. Next thing you know, they sent me to all these big contests.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I was like a little contest kid. Like I would just, that's all I would do. So that was
like the European circuit?
Yeah, Etnies used to have this, it was like, yeah, a whole European tour of contests. And I went to every single one of them. And it ended with like the European Championships, which later in 2009, I won, which was like a big thing at the time, you know? Sick. But yeah.
Is that around the time you met Roberto?
I met Roberto. He was on Volcom. And then I got sponsored by Volcom in like, what, 2008 or something?
Okay.
Or 7.
Through those contests?
Through those contests. And that's when I met Roberto. Uh-huh. Probably around that time.
Yeah, because he said he's known you since you were like a long time.
Yeah.
And then so how did your first trip to the United States happen? What was that?
I remember it pretty well. Actually, it's crazy. My first trip to the United States was in 2006.
Oh.
That means I was like 12 years old or something. And that was with Etnies. I went to Goofy versus Regular.
No way.
I went to...
I might have been there.
And maybe. And I went to Damn Am. I skated one of the Damn Ams in the Volcom parking lot.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Which year were you at Goofy versus Regular?
2006.
Do you remember?
I had a green shirt on.
Was Chris black Cole tight in pants. It?
Probably, yeah. Chris Cole was in it. Leo. I think Leo was in it.
Okay, because I filmed two of those.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe you have some clips of me. I don't know.
How is the guy shredding?
No.
Sick. So you came out for how long was that?
It was probably like 2 weeks. And I came with my mom.
Oh.
Yeah, my mom joined me on that trip because I was like...
Did you cry at all?
No, I didn't cry. I don't think I cried.
Goofy versus Regular. You were like, I want to be... What are you, Goofy or Regular?
I'm Regular.
So you, me, you I want to
be Goofy. I want to be Goofy. I'm on the shitty team. No, I'm just kidding.
So what was your impression of United States? Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember getting out of LAX and then I would just look around. I'm like, this is crazy. First thing I noticed is like everything's concrete. That was a crazy thing to me. I had never seen that. And then cars are bigger. Some people are bigger.
No cows.
You know, like everything, I don't know. It's like a really strange feeling, but it's cool because every time I come back from a trip, I still have that feeling. It never gets old. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I always have that, still that same feeling as when I was a little kid and came here for the first time.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. I'm always stoked to come back.
So legitimate sponsor-wise, Etnies was your first and then Volcom.
And then I started riding for Flip, which happened through a demo at my local park, the indoor park. My friends pushed me to do a trick mid-demo, which I didn't want to do, but they're like, just do it. And so I front-feebled the rail. I'm not sure if that's how it happened, but next thing you know, I got flipboards.
And who was there? Was Jeff there?
Jeff wasn't there, but it was like Arto was there, Shane Cross, Ali Bulala, Tom Penny.
Oh, sick.
That's crazy.
So they saw you and then they offered you boards after that.
Yeah.
Rad. And you were on there for a while or?
Yeah, I was on Flip for a while. And then I kind of just quit that out of nowhere, I feel like. But I was a little kid. I was like, I don't want flip boards. And it's like, I don't know why. And then I just didn't have a board sponsor for a while.
Oh. And were you still living in Belgium?
Mm-hmm.
And then Toy Machine?
Kinda, but Toy Machine, that's not till that's Toy Machine's like way later. I feel like so I skated flip boards and then I had no boards for a while and then on and off like I started skating for what was it? Oh, then I started skating for Alien Workshop Europe and then they kinda like that weird thing happened where they like went out of business or I'm not even sure, but
right.
They're just like, yeah, no more boards for you. And I was like, what? Okay.
Yeah.
And then I skate some Element boards through my friends. Like my one friend, Phil, he skates for Element. And then he just like gave me like a box. So I would skate those boards. And then I think in 2013 or something, I started getting flow. Like they hooked me up with some boards, like Toy Machine boards. One day I just got an email of like Sinclair. I don't really know how that happened even. He just emailed me like, hey, would you want to ride for Toy Machine?
My friend Bob Reynolds saw you at some Nike demo.
Bob, I don't know if that's how it was. But at that time even, I would come out to the States like every now and then for like Volcom trips or...
Oh, so you were coming out here.
Yeah, I was.
Do you think that you were like waiting for the right situation? Like maybe. You kind of in your head knew like, if I'm going to do this, I want to do it with the right people.
Yeah, you know, like being from Europe, like it's easy to, or not easy, but maybe easier to be like, oh, I'm just going to ride for a European brand, which is cool too. But in my head, I've always had the idea of like, I want to ride for, like I grew up watching Toy Machine videos and other, I mean, other videos too. But I remember like, okay, I want to ride for something like this and I want to be like a real, like, not saying the other ones are not real pros or whatever, but I was like, in my head, I'm like, I want to do it this way, you know? And then with Toy Machine, that like kind of worked out. Like, you know, like now I have a pro board and stuff. So that's really like how I had it in mind.
Sure.
And then it happened.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that you got on Toy Machine kind of as flow and they put you to the test going on King of the Road.
Yeah. But I feel like I just got lucky there or something, because I feel like someone was hurt maybe last second and then
Billy Marks, I think.
No, Billy was there. Someone else was supposed to go. Maybe it was, I feel like I want to say it was Jeremy Liabres or something. But then I feel like he was hurt at that time and I was here and I had just gone on my first Toy Machine trip to Albuquerque and I met everybody and I feel like that went well. And then I was supposed to go home. And then Sinclair comes like, hey, would you want to go on King of the Road like in a couple of weeks? And I was like, yeah, like I would love to go on King of the Road, you know? And that's how that happened. And then I feel like King of the Road went pretty well.
You were like MVP of the team, I think.
Yes, but you know, I was just skating and yeah, it worked out. And then I feel like that helped me a lot though, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like that sped up everything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, King of the Road was crazy.
Yeah, what was that like?
I don't know.
Not it's sleeping like, too much, right?
No, but even like I don't mind. Like it was super sick. You just skate every day. But it's definitely way gnarlier than I had in mind. Because I grew up watching King of the Road and you see the video and it's like, oh, cool. Like you do all these crazy things. But it's fucking, it's hard work.
And it's stressful, right?
Yeah, you have to plan everything. Kind of like, wake up, we're going to wake up at 8, we're going to leave at 9.
Yeah.
And tricks. And then you got to, even when you're doing that, there's all these other things you have to like do too, you know, like get stupid haircuts or, you know, and you have to have it all done, you know. But
in the back of mind, you're trying to think like, okay, my competitors are pretty good. They're pretty good at these tricks. Yeah, they probably did things, this.
You see things, you're like, oh shit, this guy for sure did that. And you're like, damn it, we need to do this. Yeah. And that's so, it's like a mind fuck too, you know? Like, but then you get to the, let's say you get to the finish line, they're like, did you guys get this? And no one gets it, you know? Because in the end, it's all like made up crazy, you know?
What was it like with like social media too? Like, are they teasing you with, dude, we did this and they didn't do like.
Remember, I don't know if you remember this, but I don't know if on social media stuff happened, but that was the first time I was on Vice and stuff. And then I remember...
Your first year was the first year of Vice?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
And that was crazy, too.
Super
it was like
crazy.
Really big. But then I remember there was like... I think everybody was like not hating, but Birdhouse was pretty great. They're really competitive. And then they would like... We would show up to spots in LA. And then we show up and like there's grease all over a spot. Because, you know, we had to go to same spots. It's in the book. And these guys were like putting locks on rails and like, you know, and I was like blown away. I was like, wait, what? Like that would never even cross my mind to do that to someone, you know? But I was like, oh, this is really serious. That's you know?
Yeah. So wait, it was, you were Toy Machine. There was Birdhouse.
And there was Chocolate.
Chocolate? It was only three teams.
Yeah.
Jeremy Rogers was on it. That was the year that Clint and Raven got into it.
Yeah, that was. Oh, see, that was like crazy. Because they had these city challenges.
Uh-huh.
And so I think Burnett would like text like in this group thing, like, all right, first one at this spot and grinds this big rail gets this like 50 points or whatever, or 100 points. And then, yeah, of course, everybody's racing to this spot in LA somewhere. And then we'd all show up at the same time trying to grind this rail.
Yeah.
And it's like someone's holding his board on the rail so people couldn't go. And it was pretty crazy. But I don't know. It was kind of cool.
So that was the one I went to the end with the Pink Hotel, right?
Yeah, it was.
Okay,
yeah, I was
there for the end of that.
Yeah, I was on like a trip in Spain and then I had to fly out here just for that. And then I flew back to that trip in Spain. It was insane.
After it was all out on Vice and everything,
dude, that
do
was
you
crazy.
Get recognized like, oh, you're the guy from King of...
I didn't know how big it was until... Because they would show it on TV here, but not in Europe.
Uh-huh.
And so when I came back here, it was crazy. I'd go to the store and people would like recognize me from the show. And I was like, huh? Like I'd get free stuff, like a free smoothie or something. You know, like it was insane.
No way.
And still to this day, like people recognize me from that show. Like the first season. I feel like so many people saw that.
Yeah.
And oh, I remember when I came here for the finale thing at the Pink Motel. I had to go back to the airport to fly back to Spain. And it was really weird because the people, like, I had to go through security and they, like, recognized me too. And I was like, huh, this is crazy. They're like, oh, Axel, like, from Twitter. And I was like, what? This is, like, ridiculous. Like, literally, like, everywhere I went, people would recognize me.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Huh. That's the same thing I've been hearing. Like, Joe Brooks said that happened to him, too. Like, even the photographers were getting recognized and stuff. Just
I feel like
from...
that first year on Vice was really big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then you got, like, surprised with the pro, or...
Yeah, I didn't know.
No?
No, it was pretty weird. That's, like... So, then, after King of the Road, like, I think the year after, I moved here. I got, like, a visa, and then I moved here. And... I think that first year that I moved, so it's like 3 years ago. Yeah, I got a pro board, which was surprising. I don't know. We went to the pier. It was on the pier.
In Long Beach?
No, in Huntington Beach.
Oh.
Like, Lizzie was in on it too, and I didn't know. And so, it was crazy. I'll give you the full story of this. So, it was like a normal day. I was living in Long Beach, and I had to go do something in LA that day, like film something. And Lizzie, she's like, oh, I want to get a smoothie. And I was like, okay.
Our friend was in town.
Yeah. We had a friend in town. We all stayed in Long Beach.
And I pretty much was like, oh yeah, we should like go get acai. Hannah,
oh, that's what it was. Acai. So Lizzie all of a sudden was like, oh, let's go get acai. My friend Hannah wants acai. And I was like, okay, yeah, let's go get acai. But I got to go to LA later. So they're like, yeah, yeah. So we I'm driving and Lizzie's like, just go, let's go left here. And we started going to Huntington. In my head, I'm like, why the fuck are we going to Huntington? I got to go to LA later, which is the other way. And we're going to Huntington for an acai. Like, this is stupid. Is there no acai in Long Beach or something? You know? Yeah. So we go there. We get there. They're super busy. It's like summertime, I think. And then we're trying to find parking. And he's like, oh, just park here. And it's like a mile. It's like closer to the pier, but still far, you know? And so I'm like, damn it. Like, okay. And then she's like, let's go for a walk. Like, and I'm just like, in my head, I'm so mad. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this is insane. We went all the way to Huntington. We're going for a walk now. I'm for sure not making it to LA, you know? And then she's like, oh, let's go on the pier. And I'm just like fuming right now. I'm like, okay, let's go. I'm like, I kind of gave up on going to LA already. You know, I'm like, this is insane. I was like,
insanely busy at the pier too.
It was insanely busy.
Could you tell he was upset?
Yeah, the whole time Hannah and I are just doing everything we can to like perk him up or like make the mood better. And he's just like he's on the edge to like lose it.
But for a reason, because I had an appointment, like a thing I had to go, you know, like,
sure.
But afterwards I felt bad about that. I was like, oh, I shouldn't have been mad, but I don't know, you know, this is a normal day for me. So we're walking on the pier and then I hear like the speaker, you know, they have like the speakers, the lifeguards, they can like say stuff to people like, get out of the water. And next thing you know, someone's like, no amateurs on the pier. And that means you, Axel. And I'm thinking like, damn, someone just called me out. And you know, I was like, someone must know me from King of the Road or something. So I thought it was this. And I just look around. I'm like, damn, that's bad. And then when I look up, I see like Ed and some writers and Sinclair. And they're like holding up my board. And I was like, what? Like,
could you tell instantly it was your board?
Yeah. They had like a sign and the ad and everything. I was so confused. It was really cool. And then I was mad. And then I was sad, and then I was really happy, and then I was like, damn, why was I so mad? Uh-huh. But I had reason to be mad, but it was really cool. Lizzie did it really sick.
Wow.
And then, yeah, it was a crazy day. I had to call my parents, like, I turned pro, like, you know, I don't know.
That's amazing.
It's like a dream come true, you know? I always had that in mind.
And I never knew that story.
All right, we're going to take a little break and hear from some of our friends, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, it's Corey at Blue Plate, 3218 Mission Street. Come see us. Meatloaf, fried chicken, deviled eggs, Dollar Olympia beers. We're here every day of the week. We got a garden, and we got smiles on our faces. Come let us make you happy.
Ow!
Yeah, buddy.
Hell yeah.
So go back a little bit. How did you meet Lizzie?
At I met Lizzie in Copenhagen in 2016.
2016.
The summer of 2016.
And you guys were both out there for the CPH.
Yeah, Copenhagen Open, which is a really fun event.
Uh-huh.
Not too serious.
Yeah, I love
it. And so we were just biking around and skating and, yeah, hanging out. And then I asked Lizzie to come to Belgium. But I was kind of, not that I was joking. I wanted her to come to Belgium. But then I asked her and she's like, she kind of said yes. I was like, oops. Now she's coming to Belgium. I'm like, damn it, what am I going to do? Like, but it was super cool. Then we had a really fun weekend.
Oh, and she did come.
Yeah, she came to Belgium, which was really sick.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that was the same trip because I wasn't there, but I was watching on Instagram. And there was like, you guys were all partying. And like, I don't know what happened, but Raven like said something to you and you kind of dissed him. And I never knew if that was real or if it was staged or what.
Yeah, it was at the Copenhagen Open.
It was one of the parties.
Like, hanging out, and then, like, they started filming, and then, like, Raven had his drink, and then was trying to be all cute and, like, drink it with me, and I was all like, yeah, right.
That clip is really funny.
But yeah. We're totally cool. It wasn't, like,
yeah.
On purpose.
That was a really fun year in Copenhagen.
So like, you guys, crazy. You didn't know each other at all before that?
No, I've only seen Lizzie once, and it was at the King of the Road finale thing. Right?
Yeah,
but then I didn't talk to Lizzie at all there. Or anything.
Oh, yeah, at the Pink Hotel.
Yeah, it was there because that was earlier that summer.
Right.
And then I didn't say a word to Lizzie and because I didn't really know who Lizzie was at all.
Huh.
Yeah.
And I didn't know who Axel was. Like, I just met him and, like, I didn't know, like, he was on Toy Machine or, like, what he skated really. Like.
So you guys just kind of were in the same area and you gravitated towards each other.
Kinda,
and
yeah.
Kind of picked up conversation.
And yeah, we started like talking and then we were like biking around and just kind of skating and partying and it was really fun.
It's so fun out there. Yeah. You're in a great town and it's like beautiful and everybody's having,
mm-hmm.
It's like, cause it's so cold there all year round that like when they have that little window of opportunity, dude, everyone takes advantage. Like,
it's crazy. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Whoa. But yeah.
And so, and then when you came out here, were you a part of her pro surprise?
So little after, so I met you in the summer and then I started working on to get my visa already.
That's when I met you pretty much.
Yeah. So I met you when you were filming the part with Lizzie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I moved here. I kind of had to do the same thing, like get Lizzie to this surprise pro thing. Which is one of the worst things ever. I'm not good at like hiding stuff, you know, so it's just, I was so stressed out.
You're not a good liar?
No, they tell me like, Lizzie needs to be like, at the vert ramp at 1:30 or something. I'm like, okay, I'll try. And I'm just like, all right, let's go. Like, I'm going to go skate with you to the vert. I'm like, Why would I have to be like,
yeah,
let's go to the vert ramp? I never really skate vert. You know, I skate vert sometimes, but no.
I slammed earlier that week, so I was like, whatever, I'll show up. And like,
yeah, Lizzie was like, feel like, yeah, she was kind of hurt, so no, she was super slow. No, it was
the end of the Birdhouse video filming,
yeah,
and they said they were going to film some skits with Tony
Hawk. What it was, yeah.
That's what it was, yeah. Because I was so pissed because I had just finished filming Lizzie's part, and I don't remember exactly where I was, but I wasn't able to go there. And I was like, I need to be there. Yeah. Like, what do you, like, what? And I was like,
yeah, that.
Because
yeah,
they gave her the cover of the mag too,
yeah,
as the surprise with the board.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I wanted to be there. Mm-hmm.
That was a really cool day.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
It, right? Like, he, yeah, fake fell.
He fell. He was hurt. Next thing you know, the mag came out of his pants or something. You know, it was pretty sick.
Yeah.
Hey, but so we get there, all these people are shredding the ramp, and Lizzie, like, of course, it's like, damn, there is a lot of people here. Like, to film a couple of skits, like, there's a lot of people. And Lizzie, like, she goes on the ramp, drops in, tries, like, a trick, and fully, like, lands and flies at the side of the ramp. Like, I have never seen her bail like this. So that happens. Then she goes back. It was crazy. She goes back on top of the ramp and then hangs up on this trick. Like, next thing, she drops in, does a trick, and then full hang up straight to her elbow. Like, her elbow's, like, already messed up. And then it was, like, triple the size. And I was just thinking, like, they need to give her this board, like, within the next minutes, or she's going to get even more hurt. You know, like,
yeah,
this needs to, like, stop. And then they did it, and I don't know, it was over. And Lizzie was just there, like, in pain and trying to laugh and cry. And it was a crazy, crazy day, yeah.
So that was, like, what was the time period between her board and your board? Like, a few months?
No, a year or something,
oh,
right?
I thought it was the same year.
No, it was the next year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I got both of your first boards.
Dude, it was crazy the amount of times I had to hear this, like, whoa, your girlfriend's pro and you're not pro.
Oh, man. So that's what...
Not in a bad way. I'm like, yeah, she is. I mean,
that's what I wanted to
get awesome
to was... In the beginning of your relationship, when you knew, like, we're going to be, like, more than just acquaintances.
Yeah.
Sinclair called you the Axel or the Lizzie Crusher or something. Like, there was some pretty serious joking and...
A little
you
bit.
You had to deal with some stuff.
Yeah. It's just, like, I feel like we had a lot of eyes on us. You know, it's, like, one of those things. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of new.
Uh-huh.
And then, but for us, it's all new too, you know, like we have, I don't know, this is all kind of new, you know, and it's very like fresh. So, but with all like social media and like, yeah, all these people around us, like it gets like very big really quick.
Right.
And then we did have to hear like some stuff like that, but that never bothered me. I was like, oh, I don't care. Like you can call me whatever, like, and they don't say it in a bad way. You know, like when Mike says the Lizzie Crusher, or like he means in a funny way, but it's definitely sometimes it was a bit like, come on, man, like. I'm not making jokes about you and your wife or something, you know, like, but people maybe forget sometimes. Just, I think it's just because they know both of us.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know.
What was some of the early days was you still traveling back and forth? You didn't live here yet, right?
Well, so.
Like when we were filming the part, you were trying to get your visa.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. So then that time when I came out, I almost had my visa, but I just came to see Lizzie.
Uh-huh.
And then I went on a trip, came back, and then we went to Japan together. And then I had to go to Belgium and wait to get my visa.
Uh-huh.
And then January 1st of 2017, I moved. And then I stayed with, it was so weird because I got my visa and I was like, all right, here I go, I guess. And I got this flight, went and stayed with Lizzie, and then it was kind of like I had to figure out everything, you know? It's so weird because you have to start from zero.
Dude, because I think I was there the day, I want to say that you got your driver's license and then borrowed her car to drive to get your visa application. Like, everything was happening. Like, it's on, I think.
Like, I swear that, like, it was kind of crazy because when I got here, I just had to, like, so I had to open up a bank account, so I literally, one of the first things is I tried to open a bank account, and it's like, they're like, no, you need a social security. I was like, what? Okay, I don't know any of these things here, you know, so I had to like really figure out. Lizzie helped me a bunch with that, but so I had to like, okay, I'll get a social security first, and then I needed that to get my driver's license. Turns out I have to do the driving test again because I already have a Belgian driver's license, but it doesn't count.
Right.
Like all these things, I was like, whoa, this is way gnarlier than I expected. I told her, oh, I have everything set in Belgium. I just go there and do the same. It wasn't like that. Damn. So that took a while to figure out. And then it was like the thing, I stayed with Lizzie, and then it's like, shit, do I like live with her? Like, you know, because we've only been together for a couple months technically. So it's like, I don't know, if you just meet someone, you're not really going to just start living together usually. So it's kind of like, damn, okay, maybe I should look for a place. And then I moved to Long Beach in the house where I used to stay when I would come out for like 3 months at a time.
Was that with Leo?
No, that's with Aunt Travis and Dane Berman.
Oh, you were living with them.
Yeah, and that was really sick. So, and at that time, we were filming the like Volcom video, so I would stay there all the time and just film.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How's that with both you guys have such crazy schedules? That must be a tough situation to like figure out your windows of opportunity. Yeah.
It gets hard sometimes.
Like
but
maybe
then,
not so much in the winter, but summer when it's like on.
Dude, the summer's crazy.
But even you guys like get to travel together a little bit.
Sometimes we get to travel together, and that's really fun.
Yeah.
And I feel like we always make it work to where, like, we see each other, like, for the crazy schedule we have, we get to see each other a lot, I think, which is really sick. And then we live together, and, you know, it's really cool.
Hell yeah.
But the summer is definitely, like, crazy because we both, like, go from one thing to another. And then Lizzie has a bunch of contests, which I have to do now too. And then it's cool. We get to go to these things together.
And then we got Kato Kalen in the back room. Oh, Griffin.
Yeah. Griffin's there too. Well, he's like the security of the house. You know, like we're always gone. He's always there.
Yeah.
And it's cool to have someone at the house always, you know. And a lot of boxes show up and he puts them in the house. And, you know, he keeps an eye out. Like, it's cool.
Let's talk about Tesla life.
Tesla life?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, because we just got to see your guys' Tesla, and I'm jealous.
Yeah, we got a Tesla, and it's, I know, we really like it.
What are some of the great things about it?
No gas. You don't have to pay for gas, which is, I think, pretty expensive.
Uh-huh.
So
you fully charge it, and you get 310 miles.
With our car, yeah.
Uh-huh.
We got the dual motor, like Model 3 or whatever. And you get 310 miles per charge, and it's ridiculously fast. I've never had a car that goes that fast. I'm not a car person, and Lizzie is not a car person either, but so we decided to get we just wanted an electric car.
Uh-huh.
And then we started looking at all these cars, comparing them, and next thing you know, we bought a Tesla because all the other cars are kind of expensive too, and then with a little bit more, you have so much more, so that's why we got the Tesla.
And it'll tell you like, hey, your charge is this low. You better stop at this place to charge.
Let's say we drove here and the thing just plans it for you. You know, it's like you're going to stop here for 20 minutes, charge. You're going to and then you're going to drive for 2 hours and then you're going to stop here, get a little charge and you'll be in SF or whatever.
So I want to start a Kickstarter account for me to get a Tesla.
Dude, you should. They're fun in the city, on the hills and stuff. You'd be flying up those things.
All right. I want to ask you your favorite place you've gone to skateboard, just for the skateboarding aspect in the whole world where you've been that you like the most.
Oh, that's tough. I feel like I like a lot of places for certain things. I went to Greece this year and that was really good. I really enjoyed that.
For skating?
Yeah, it was crazy. There's really? So many spots, but also the food's insane. So, yeah, I like Greece.
And then what's your favorite place you've been to, like, as just, like, not skating to check out?
I love Japan.
Japan?
Yeah, really? I think that's one of my favorite places
in the world. Are you saying that just because mommy's here?
Yeah, mommy, I love Japan.
Mommy cameo.
No, it's not because of that. I already loved Japan before. I just, like, it's a crazy place, and I love Japanese food.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. That's like, I could eat it every day, and they have so many different things. I just love it.
How do you feel about boba tea or Boba Fett? Do you like Boba Fett more or Boba Tea?
Boba Tea.
Really?
Yeah, I drink it every day.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so
I go crazy.
Damn.
You were claiming how you haven't been having Movity every day.
Yeah, okay, I tried to slow down a little bit because I was skating a bunch. Okay, I don't drink it every day, but no, let's say I go out of my way most days to get boba.
Really?
That's one of the things, like, say I wake up, I make coffee and breakfast, I go skate, and then somewhere in the day before 4, I get boba tea. Okay. After 4, I can't do it because I can't sleep then. For all the sugar, I'm a bit sensitive to that.
Yeah, same. Are you filming right now for any projects?
Yeah, I'm filming for a Vans Europe thing.
Oh.
So on Saturday, I'm flying to Alicante, and Roberto's going to be there. Sick. He's going to be showing us around.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that. And that was a last minute thing. Like, Chris Fanner called me yesterday. He's like, hey, I'm thinking about doing a mission to Spain. You want to come? I was like, yeah. So got
Chris
a ticket.
Fanner's
and
the best.
I know. I'm lucky. He's my team manager.
So you're on Vans Europe?
Yeah, I'm on Vans Europe.
And who's in that?
So Vans Europe's got, so Chris Fanner is the team manager. And uh-huh. then we got a pretty big team.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm trying to think who you would know. Mm. Do you know any of the Vans Europe guys?
I don't know.
Do you know this guy, Doobie?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's on Vans Europe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's it's a sick team. I love going on these trips. They're some of my favorite trips.
Oh, right.
They're just like, the vibe is really good, and then we're filming for this thing that will come out, I think April or something.
Uh-huh.
It'll be like a team thing.
All right.
And I have quite a little bit of... I mean, most of my footage went to the toy machine thing.
Yeah.
Which came out a bit ago. But I still have a good amount of footage for this one, too. So it'll be like a little part, maybe. Depends how they do the montage. But so I'm going on a trip to Alicante Saturday for that.
Sick. Mm-hmm. Well, tell those dudes. So Chris Fanner is the European Matt Bennett.
Yeah, he is. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Both are two really good skaters and sick guys. Yeah. So, yeah.
Vans is doing it proper.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. I got some friends over there. I know some people.
That's good. It's good to know some people.
Every once in a while, I'll get some slip-ons. Really? To me. Yeah.
Damn.
It's tight.
No, it's super sick.
So what do you think about this, the Instagram, basically? Like, as far as, I mean, you grew up a little later than I did, obviously. But,
but
like,
I was still in that thing before
we
Instagram.
We used to be so
that,
stoked on, like, a video lasting for, like, a year. Yeah. Like,
I'm still like that.
You like that?
I feel like I still watch the stuff from when I was growing up skating. That's the stuff that really gets me hyped, because that's what I first started seeing, and that's like still in me, you know.
Uh-huh.
I still watch like the older videos and the older parts. I watch all the new stuff too, but I feel like I keep going back to like older stuff,
the classics.
Yeah, just I don't know why, it just feels like that's what's important to me.
I think personally that when those videos came out, those tricks were being seen a lot of times for the first time. And now those tricks are still being seen, but they're just done better or bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But like when you saw a no comply kickflip and you've never seen that trick ever, it was mind blowing.
Yeah.
And now you see it down like 10 stairs and you're like, oh, that was sick. But to never see it is insane.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's, to me, I just like to watch what I watched when I was growing up. You know, like it just feels like it does
back
something
that,
to me. You know?
Yeah.
And then with social media too, like, I mean, some people get a career out of social media. Mm. For me, it was different. You know, I was skating way before that, so. Like,
Lizzie got a career off of social media?
Technically, yeah.
She's a big Pinterest meeting tomorrow.
Truly. But if it wasn't for Instagram, like, I don't think there was, like, a way to really calculate, like.
It's easier to get noticed through, like, Instagram and stuff, but then...
I had just been skating, like, at the time when I was, like, okay, I want to, like, make skating a career, to, like, tell my sponsors, like, hey, like, I'm a female skater and I want to do this for my job. And it was, like, I could use Instagram to show that, like, I get people, like, people watch me, like,
right.
I have...
True, yeah.
Yeah.
You got the stats right there.
Yeah, you don't need the magazine
likes.
Or
Look
a video
this.
Part or... Yeah,
yeah, it's kind of like a shortcut.
Yeah.
But before that, it's, like, no girls were... on.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there was maybe like a handful that have before me, but no one, I don't know. Now it's like the doors are open, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, look, mommy's here. She's
mommy's all the way from Japan.
Yeah. No, it is sick. I mean, It's just, I like Instagram. I like looking around on Instagram. Just
do you post often, or?
I try to like post, and I feel like I just post what I think is fun. That's what it all is about. It's your own thing, and you try to show people what you're doing. Uh-huh. So I try to just like, I don't think about it too much. I feel like I'm like, let's say like we go skate a park. I'm like, Lizzie, you want to film this line? And then yeah. I just do like a little line, something that I like, and then I put it out there, and people like it, maybe, you know, I don't know.
Are you conscious about what goes on the post as opposed to what goes in the story?
Not that much. I'm not some like...
Some people are really like, oh, hey, that was a story post.
You know, like, or those people that do the thing to, what's it called? Like, they post something, like, the tries in their story, and then, like, they post, like, a photo of, like, go watch, just uploaded this clip, watch the post or something, you know, and it's like...
Oh, yeah, it's like a full... See,
but, you know, like, people do that all the time, and I don't like that. It's like, I don't know. I'm on Instagram already. Like, I will see your post probably. But people put things in their story, and then they refer to their post.
Yeah.
Which, to me, is like, I get it. They just want you to go to their page, and but it's just kind of whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not like that.
It's advertising.
Yeah, I like to... Like, really whatever stuff I just put in my story, and then, like... the actual skating or stuff. I just something that's more a little more serious. Maybe I put in a story in a post.
Have you ever had to do anything that your sponsors or somebody told you that they wanted you to do that really bummed you out?
On social media?
No, just period.
In like, general?
Yeah.
Let me think. I can't think of anything right now, but I'm sure I've had to do some whatever stuff.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's part of it, I guess. We already have a pretty cool job, so
yeah,
you can't complain. But, you know, I feel like most of the time, maybe, like, coming up and you don't have your own, like, they don't really know who you are yet, and they kind of like, oh, can you do this? And you're like, yes, I guess. You're scared to say no. But I feel like now I'm in a position where I can be like, they know who I am and, like, how I roll. Yeah. And... So I don't have to do too many things that I'm not into, you know. Or I would tell them now, at least.
And then what's up with the smiley face tattoos? What do we think about them?
I once said, I don't know. Lizzie hates. No. So, I don't know. I once did a little stick and poke on my leg. And I just wanted to try it, see how it feels, you know. Yeah. So I did a little smiley face. But then I also told Lizzie once that I hate when people have smiley face tattoos, which I do. But then, yeah, I didn't think it through. I have one too, I guess.
Well, I think from my understanding...
Do you have one?
No.
Oh.
But what I'm understanding you say is you don't understand people paying to go get a smiley face.
Yeah, I think people... Or like,
but if
you know,
you're going to give yourself your first tattoo, that might be an easy one to try.
Yeah. For someone like me that's not very, like, creative.
Yeah.
You know, I just like, I'm going to do a smiley face.
You're pretty creative, though.
I don't know. I'm not good at, like, drawing stuff. I'm creative in another way,
but that's different than being creative.
Yeah.
Because in your mind, you're creating a lot of things the time.
I do, but I'm not good with, like, drawing stuff. Maybe I don't have enough patience, you know?
Either.
I'm too, like, I need to, like, move around and just do whatever I want.
Do you have any tips or techniques for calming yourself down? Like when your mind's racing and you, like you said, sometimes you just have to go skate.
Yeah. I'm not good at waiting. Let's say like even
like
today
we
skated the vert ramp. There's like what, 10 skaters and you have to wait to drop in. And I'm just like when I go skate, like I don't like to, I just want to cruise around and do tricks and go up, like, you know, like go upstream and like no rules, you know.
Right.
Like I don't like it when there's like, yeah, you can't, I don't know, wait, it's his turn. And I understand, you know, I'm not like, oh, I want to go.
Yeah.
But I need to like be like free and just like push around, and I don't know, I don't like the restrictions. Like,
do you have a hard time falling asleep at night?
If I didn't skate, yeah.
Really?
But if I skate, I'm okay. I used to have that problem with school. Like, they were like, Axel's too wild. Like,
He's restless. Like,
yeah, like, kind of. I would like, because I would have to sit there all day, and I'm like, I need to move around.
Is there anything you do? Like, do you try to meditate or drink tea or anything?
Not really. Not necessarily. I like to, like, let's say, like, I go skate all day, I can, like, sleep pretty good. Yeah.
Okay.
If I have to sit in the house all day, it's not for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's you and Lizzie did this thing that I'm really interested about where you go in the water thing, like, right? Didn't you guys do the thing where you go in the tanks?
The cryo?
It's yeah, the
with
cryo.
The air, like the
yeah. You've done that, right?
Yeah, we've done it.
What's up with that?
I think I've only done it a couple really times.
I'm interested in it because I've never.
Done it a couple times, but so basically you go in this thing, and it's so cold in there for like maybe you go in there for 30 seconds, and it gets the temperature of your body like on the inside, you get really cold, and then apparently that's good for like when you're even like. Let's say you're hurt, you can do this. Or even, what was it, for people that have like a certain illness or it's good for them?
Yeah, so if you have like, what's the...
Or like nerve stuff, was it? I forget.
Is it kind of like taking an ice bath, except for crazier. More like modern?
Yeah, it's way crazier.
Okay. Yeah.
But so, I feel like a lot of like the cyclists, and stuff, dude. Like, just to like recover, you recover really fast.
Okay.
But I've only done that a couple times because we go to this place sometimes in Huntington Beach, and it's like a physiotherapist, and then they have one of those there, and it's like, hey, you guys want to jump in there? And it's really cool. Afterwards, once you warm up again, you feel really good.
Okay, yeah. Sick. I gotta try it sometime.
Yeah, you should try it.
Have you ever been anywhere skating or watching someone else skate that you were terrified? Like, this is scary.
I'm sure I have, but I can't recall the moment either.
Yeah.
But I feel like that happens quite a lot.
Has there been any things that you went back a bunch of times to finally get that, like, you couldn't get it, and then finally you got it?
I feel like... Like,
at 3 or 4 days or something, different times?
I've had, like, I'm still, like, there's this one spot, and I still didn't land it. I've been, like, twice now. Couldn't do it. And then I have like a couple things I've went back, like I have this other trick I tried, like I've been, I think, 3 times 5 hours and I can't do it, and I don't know, and I don't understand why I can't do it.
Does it eat you away? Like,
yeah, for it kills the, me
like it, days after, are you like still, yeah, thinking about it?
It hurts me, you know, it hurts, yeah, my head because I think about it so much.
Yeah,
it hurts my heart because I like care.
Uh-huh.
And then it's a lot of these things, it's like you're trying a trick that technically you can do, but then maybe you're trying it on something that's not good for it, but then that's the whole challenge. But sometimes, I feel like sometimes I get in this thing where, like, let's say one of these tricks, it's like, I don't understand why I cannot land this right now. You know, like,
yeah,
I've tried this so many times, one of them has to work, right?
Right.
I always think like that, like, one I'll roll away, but then sometimes it just does not want to happen. And it hurts, you know, like, I love skateboarding, so it's hard sometimes.
Yes. Well, I think I've taken enough of your time. Yeah. Is there anything else we should mention? Mammy, you got a final question for Axel?
What is your favorite Japanese food?
I love my favorite Japanese. I really like ramen. Oh, actually, gyoza is my favorite.
Gyoza for the win.
There's this one place. Hey, we went to Japan a bit ago, Lizzie and I, and then we went to this place called Osho. It's like it's kind of like a fast food Japanese place.
Uh-huh.
And so we went there, like, at some point, we went like 3 times a day or something. And I would just go in there and get like a beer and gyoza.
I love
the gyoza.
It is good.
I had so much. I probably ate like 1,000 pieces on that trip. It's crazy.
Thanks for that, Mammy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we have to talk about one other thing. I forgot. So you got this modeling gig.
Once.
Tell me the story about that. Everybody was like fanning out on you.
No, yeah, but they didn't know
they
me.
They thought you like were a bigger model than you were, right?
So turns out, so in the model world, I don't really know all this, but so I went to New York for like a Vogue shoot. And when I went there, so I have an agent that helps me with skateboarding, you know?
Yeah.
And he works for IMG. I don't really know, but like, I guess it's really big for models. If they're signed with IMG models, that means they're like, I think that means they're pretty big time. So when I went on this shoot, like, they knew that, like, oh shit, he's with like IMG models, which I'm not, but like through my manager being like working for IMG, it looks like I, so they were like looking at me like, damn, this guy, like, he must be like big time. But in the end, I'm like, it's my first time at one of these things. I'm like, I don't know, it was weird, but it was super cool. They had a lot of like really good food, catering, really nice.
Did you
had my hair done
meet anybody that can are you gonna do it again?
I would if they ask me, but I guess it's not that easy. I don't know. Really? I mean, there's a lot of beautiful people out there, so I don't know. They but don't really, they don't really need me there, you know. You know what I mean? It's like, but I'd be down to do more of that stuff. If the opportunity is there, I would do it. Yeah.
What was that one for?
It was Vogue and this company Moncler. They make crazy big jackets, and I don't know, I had to like skate around in a museum in New York.
Were you in a magazine?
No, it was like an online thing, I think.
On Vogue's website?
Yeah, just for like, it was on there maybe for a week. I'm not even sure. Oh. I saw the photos once, and I was like, oh, cool. Okay. And then that's it. And it was pretty cool. I got to skate around in this museum, but it was really crazy.
Really?
They were like really scared of me breaking stuff. So I just kept pushing around and ollieing over benches, and they were like, whoa, like, be careful, you know? It was so funny.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they were worried.
Was there anything, like, that you have as a goal? Like, what's the future? Like, some stuff that, are you going to learn a 540? Or, like, what do you?
Probably not. What are you gonna try? So, right now, so I'm trying to just skate street, film parts. I just had a toy machine part, working on a Vans thing, and we're working on another toy machine thing.
No way.
Yeah, so I'm doing that, and I'm trying to get all this kind of done before, like, in a couple months, I have to skate all these, like, qualifying contests or whatever for, like, Olympics, because I'm on the Belgian Olympic thing.
You're going to do the Olympics.
Yeah, so I'm doing that, too. Whoa. But I don't want to give up street skating and filming, because that's what makes me really happy.
Yeah,
those contests are all right, but it's not like, I don't know, I would be not happy if I only did those contests, you know. I want to film and I want to be out there.
Is it safe to say that you're a shoe-in for the Belgium team, though? Like, is there anybody else?
There is other people, but the thing, I'm definitely like say in the top spot or whatever. Yeah. But it's also because I did, like, so I did last year, I did all those contests too. So there. I'm in the ranking, you know, I'm in like top 20. So, and top 20 can go to the Olympics. So I'm fine right now.
What do you think about the Olympics compared to like regular contests? Like,
it'll be the same.
It will?
I think it'll be the same. The only thing it's like bigger, but I don't know. For
you
me,
think
nothing
the
really
changed. Will be the same?
Yeah, I think so. Like, all these qualifiers or like these contests now leading up to it are all already like, it's, that's how the Olympics are going to be. So you know how they're going to judge it. The parks are going to be like that. So in the end, like, I already know how it's going to be.
But what do you think about like all these people now having subdivisions because of what country they represent? You
yeah,
know what
I don't
I mean?
Know.
Like, now all of a sudden it's like the Americans versus you.
True.
Instead of like, we're all bros skating this.
But in the end, like, I feel like they're trying to do that. But then in the end, once we're skating, no one's like, oh, this country. Or it's more like, still, I don't know.
You don't think
or I don't feel like that. I'm not like, oh, the Americans or the Chinese. Or, you know, I'm just like, most people I already know.
What if they go birdhouse on you, though, and start
dude, greasing
up the spot?
In the park? I feel like they would get disqualified. You know, with Thrasher, they couldn't get disqualified for that.
But
in the Olympics...
Have you been getting drug tested?
Yeah, I did once. Dude, it was crazy.
Really? Like, do they do it? Like,
so
they let
I,
you
it
know,
was,
or is it you don't know?
No. So I was in Brazil for a street league, and I had just... I got done skating the semifinals, and I want to walk off the course, and they literally just like point at a photo and they're like, is this you? I'm like, yeah. And then I had to like give my passport and like instantly go with them straight from the street course into like a container. And then I had to like, they sat me down and I just had to, I was like, yeah, I don't have to pee right now, you know? So I just sat there and waited until I could pee. And then I had to do the whole, like, you know, it's pretty crazy. You pick your cup, you open it yourself, you pee in the cup. This dude is watching you pee in the cup.
Do they explain it to you?
Yeah. So if you want to skate the contest, you have to do a like a online class. basically school yourself to know. So let's say if someone comes up to you, you have to know all the rules, because let's say if it goes wrong, then that's on you.
Right. You know? What I was having a hard time understanding, maybe you know this, is pot is, you can't have weed in your system, so even though it's legal?
I think, yeah, that's a big thing, because weed's legal here in California, but not in
Japan.
Yeah. Exactly. There, it's a big, big.
But
no.
Shouldn't they drug test you? Like, if you're having a contest in California and they drug test you, like, it's weird. But then if it's like comes to like, no. Okay, you know.
So
what
the
mean?
Whole thing is basically, I feel like with weed it's different because it's not like you're taking steroids or something.
Yeah.
But I think you can have maybe some weed or like,
I don't think
stuff
so.
In your blood. But I feel like most people that do smoke weed, they just don't smoke like a week before the contest because it's out of your blood really quick.
But some of these guys need to smoke,
yeah.
You know?
But
Pedro Barros is going to have a hard time without weed.
Well, he's doing it though, you know, like, and I guess he's passing it. I don't know. I don't do all that stuff, so I don't really know. Like, okay. For me, I don't have to change my ways of living.
Interesting. Yeah.
I'll drink a beer and like, but. As long as you're not, you see, like, you cannot skate a contest drunk, and if you have to pee right after and you're drunk,
yeah,
like, that's no, you know, you're done.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It's crazy. That's the only thing that's a bit, like, it's not fun to pee in a cup in front of someone, you know, like, no.
I get stage fright.
Dude, me too. Yeah. I already have it in a normal bathroom or whatever, so I'm there, this dude. Listen to this dude. So I had to pee in this cup, and we go in this, like, he's like, you ready? I'm like, okay, I think I can go. I'm super nervous. So we go in this like small like bathroom, and the dude, like, he's like standing next to me, and then he just turns on the water, and I just like look at him. I'm like, why? And he's like, I think it would help you pee. And I'm like, what? So I started laughing, and then I just like, okay. I was like, this is kind of weird, you know? And then I peed in the cup, but this cup is like pretty small. So I'm like, oh shit, no, I'm peeing a bunch. And I'm like, I don't know where to put the cup, and I'm still peeing. And this dude's next to me watching me do all this. And I'm like, this is insane. Like, it was fucked up. Oh. It was an experience.
Wow.
And I know I'll have to do it again, you know? Yeah.
Good times.
Olympics, yeah.
Who are you going to be rooting for, though? This is tricky. We got Japan, we got Belgium, we got US, and we got
Lizzie skates for Finland.
No, I know.
I don't know. I wouldn't root for me. You know, in the end, like, it's just a contest.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, let's say, just for example, your guy is American guy, but in that thing, is it like, oh, you're America, fuck you? Like, not fuck you, but like, I'm not rooting for you because I have to root for Jean-Paul over here or whoever the other
guy. I have to root for
is.
Sean DePaul.
Yeah.
Now, I don't really know.
Do you think Bastion's going to show up?
No, I don't think so.
Out of nowhere?
You can't. That's the thing with the Olympics. You can't really show up out of nowhere because you have to get all the points to get to the Olympics.
But like, let's say you're the only guy in your country.
Yeah, but not every country's going.
Oh.
It's with the point system.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
So you can be the best skater in your country, but you still have to go to all the qualifying contests and get enough points to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So technically...
So no surprises.
No surprises, really. It's probably going to be pretty boring. Like, it's going to be like, the guys you always see win are going to win.
What are the odds that Shaun White will be in the skateboarding Olympics?
I saw him at a qualifying contest in Brazil, but he was not looking too hot, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he skated good, but you can tell, like, he's a vert skater, and, like, he looks... Yeah. Funny in a bowl, I don't know, you know, like fully padded, just like kind of. But in the Olympics, it's not about being cool and a sick skater, you know. It's like,
do you have to wear pads in the Olympics?
Well, no, not right now, but they're trying to make helmets mandatory because
just
a couple
helmet.
Of the bowl, like in the park, a couple people smack their heads and they're like,
Kowalski,
they're gonna,
right?
Yeah, he did it, and I remember like in Brazil, Pedro did it.
Kowalski couldn't even leave.
That was Brazil?
Yeah, he was in the hospital for like a couple weeks, I think, or something.
That's gnarly.
Super gnarly. And yeah, I hope he's doing better. I think he is.
I think so. Yeah. I think he got back finally.
Yeah. So, but because of those things, I think helmets are mandatory now in the park.
Uh-huh.
And they're trying to do it in street.
Whoa.
Which is pretty heavy.
Whoa.
I feel like I would have to learn how to skate with a helmet.
Yeah.
I'm not used to wearing a helmet, you know?
No, that would change a lot of things.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. I'm scared.
Yeah. Well, I wish everybody luck.
That's, yeah.
I me can't too. Wait to watch it, to be honest.
I can't I wait just for it to see be over. How it unravels. I can't wait for it to be over. Like, yeah. Just this year, because I really miss just like the normal. Like, I enjoyed so much just like filming in the streets and stuff. And I miss it so much when I'm at these contests. Like,
you aren't really contest guy.
But that's the thing. I grew up skating all these contests and I'm able to.
Yeah.
But it's just so much fun to be in the streets and skating. And there's a certain kind of pressure on that too. But it's just.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I really like to do. Okay. But I don't mind. And it's a great opportunity, you know, going to the Olympics.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, for
sure. So. I was like, fuck, I'm just going to try it. And now I'm pretty close to it. So it's like, I just have to keep it up and I'm in there. So that's pretty crazy.
Okay, well, we're going to say right here, whatever it is, January 8th, 2020. If you win the Olympics, it's because of this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, sick. Thanks for getting me on.
Yeah. Well, let's end it with like a good song that you want to send it out of here with.
A good song?
Yeah, we can play any song you want.
Let me think. You know, actually, I've been liking this dude, Jonathan Richmond.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Uh-huh.
And there's this one song, but I can't remember the name right now. And it really... Oh, the song, Dancing in a Lesbian Bar or whatever. Dance, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that song's really funny and I like it.
All right. Well,
can
we'll
you play
take,
that?
We're going to take us out of here with Dancing in a Lesbian Bar.
I really want to hear this. I mean, I guess you kind of know the story from the song, but I would just want to know why he wrote that.
How he got
like,
inspired.
Like, yeah, maybe
that?
He was just doing all this, you know,
uh-huh.
Which is pretty sick. I don't know.
Well, I'm stoked you guys are up here. It's always
dude,
awesome
yeah.
hanging out.
For
we're
going to
go skate all day tomorrow again. And
thanks for bringing Jason Jesse. That's super sick, too.
Oh, yeah. He loves you guys, too. It was super weird being at the ramp today. He, like,
dude.
Hit his head, like, kind of early, and he was like, dude, I'm kind of dizzy.
Dude, that was a gnarly slam.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Lizzie really saw it, but I was like, I think he was knocked out for, like, a little, like, just a second.
I don't
second.
Know. He just, like, did one of those slow falls, and then his head kept going down, went yeah. boom. And
it was so strange. It was one of those, like, weird, like, wait, what? Like, what just happened? But
yeah.
I'm super stoked he was there because he's a really sick guy.
Absolutely. Well,
thanks for having me.
We are out of here. Thank you, Axel.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mammy and Lizzie, too. Sayonara.
Well, I was dancing at a nightclub one Friday night, and that nightclub bar was a little uptight. Yeah, I was dancing all alone, a little self-conscious, when some kids came up and said, for dancing, come with us. And soon I was dancing in the lesbian bar. Oh, oh, I was dancing in the lesbian bar. Ooh, ooh. In the industrial zone, I was dancing with my friends and dancing alone. Well, the first bar, things were alright, but in this bar, things were Friday night. In the first bar, things were just alright. This bar, things were Friday night, and I was dancing in the lesbian bar. Oh, oh, I was dancing in the lesbian bar. Ooh, ooh. Dancing in a lesbian bar way downtown. I was there to check the scene and hang around. Well, the first bar, things were stop and stare, but in this bar, things were laissez-faire. In the first
In this bar things were laissez-faire, and I was dancing in the lesbian bar. Oh, oh, I was dancing in the lesbian bar. Ooh, ooh, ooh. In the first bar, folks were drinking sips, but in this bar, they could shake their hips. In the first bar, they were drinking sips. In this bar, they could shake their hips, and I was dancing in the lesbian bar. Oh, oh. I was dancing in a lesbian bar. Ooh, ooh,
for listening to another episode of Talking Schmidt. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow. All of the episodes will always remain free, but if you would like to help support the show, you can do so at TalkingSchmidt.com, where you can pick up some merchandise like t-shirts, beanies, hats, and stickers. The website has an entire archive of all of the episodes, with extra photos and videos. Email us with any suggestions, comments, or ways that the show may have improved your life at TalkingSchmidt@gmail.com. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature. A very special shout-out goes to the executive director, Cheryl Camisa. This is Talking Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.